405 DGS on KMOX. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald, who is the rabbi for the priest and rabbi. He asked for some airtime to address what's been going on in Gaza. So, of course, being a friend of the show, we said yes. So he'll be on about 4:17, 4:20. Rach, what do you have?
I have a couple of things I want to talk about here. The first one is Marathon Dad. Have you seen this viral video, Dave?
No.
Okay, so this woman, this mother, is running a race. I'm assuming it's a marathon because that's what everyone is referring to it as. But we all make assumptions on the internet. Who knows what's really going on? But she's about to break the tape, as Amy would put it, after she won her race a couple weeks ago, which was very exciting. She's about to break the tape. Her husband, father of her children, is standing off to the side just before you break the tape with the kids. And as she's coming around the bend, he pushes the kids towards the mom like, hey, go give her a hug before she reaches the finish line. So she just keeps going. She brushes the kids aside and goes and breaks the tape and then goes and has her moment with her family. But the internet is melting down, I think rightfully so, because this dad is so oblivious or so entitled or whatever is going on, where he is going to prevent her from winning in order for them to have their cute little family moment.
Yeah, I'm a guy. I can say it. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just stupid and selfish and making it about you.
Just not, like, read what's happening.
Yeah, read the room. Let mom have a moment.
Exactly. And then, you know, there were some people who were like, I can't believe she would brush her kids aside. I can in that moment. I mean, this is her moment to win. This is really exciting stuff. She's probably been training for it for forever.
You know what really frustrated me? Is after she, like, runs past the kid, like, kind of around them, he, like, throws his hands up to everybody else, like, are you seeing this? Look what I did.
What an a-hole.
I know.
Yeah. All right. I have a ruling.
Can I just say something else about that? this is not his first a-hole hijinks. He wakes up and goes to bed like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you stay with someone like that.
Well, you could just tell by the way she was like, he's going to do something. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do something. I'm sure this has happened before. I'm sure he had like a... I'm sure she will, you know. I know
people like this and I can't stand them.
Yeah.
I bet he was also like, now I'm just speculating, I'm sure he was like, I've got to babysit the kids today and get them down to the race to see mom win. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he was probably thinking more like, I'm going to make this moment so special and everyone's going to think I'm so great.
Yeah. Oh.
And this is going to go viral because the kids are going to welcome her as she wins this race. But again, he's thinking about himself. He's not thinking about she's about to win a race. Let her win the race.
And if he's thinking about her, he would have done the exact same thing he did, but on the other side of the finish line. Like, he didn't even comprehend, like, oh, if she stops and hugs her children here, she's going to lose the race she's about to win.
We hate this guy.
I hate this guy.
This guy's on the bad list for the DGS right now. Okay, I need a ruling. I saw this story. This happened at a McDonald's in Canada. A customer pulled into the drive-thru, and as they were kind of like coasting along the drive-thru, so the vehicle is moving, but it's moving very slowly, they had their McDonald's app open to get one of the deals. Well, they got pulled over, and the police officer said, you're using your phone while driving. In the drive-thru, the customer says, I was just using the app. It's not that big of a deal. People do this all the time. What side do you guys come down on?
100% customer.
Yes, I don't... Being in the drive-thru should at least... Isn't it different rules? I mean, it's not
it
like
it is different rules. I don't think the police obviously have jurisdiction if there's something going down, but I don't think you can pull someone over on private property.
I mean, they're not going like 90 on the interstate down a hill and like with their phone in front of their face. They're in the drive-thru.
They're like, did I get free fries?
That's an a-hole policeman.
Yeah, that's...
This seems to be a pattern of...
Well, I'll do you one better. The same policeman was the dad from the... No, he wasn't.
I believed you for a second.
I did too. I was like, oh,
what?
My gosh.
Okay, one more thing for this segment. I've been wanting to talk about this for about 2 weeks now. Doctors say you shouldn't do this TikTok challenge. So they have come out and asked everyone to please not do this. But I think if we did it, we would be okay. I think it would be okay. All right. It's called the Shell On challenge. And it's when you eat something with the shell on, like you eat a banana with the peel on.
Oh, I have heard of this.
Or you eat like a Little Debbie snack cake with the plastic wrap.
The wrapping?
Yeah. Now, here's why I think we would be okay. You obviously wouldn't swallow the plastic wrapping, but I think it would be fun to bite through it and take a bite. Don't you guys think?
No.
Oh,
okay. What if we do the shell on challenge with like a cosmic brownie and we try to see who can eat the most without eating the shell? I might die. Never mind. I think I would choke on the plastic and die.
I just think it would be interesting to see if you could bite through the plastic.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. All right,
we're going to do it, Dave.
This one's lost on me.
We'll show you.
It's been on the sheet for like 2 weeks because Dave had a rightfully bad feeling about it. I'm over here like, I think we should do the shell-on challenge that doctors are advising against.
Now, I'll do it.
I could do a shell-on challenge like, I don't want to take a bite of banana peel, but at least it's organic.
Mm.
But biting through any kind of wrapping, I know exactly what that's going to feel like.
We should do the one chip challenge. That's what we should do.
They've stopped doing that.
What?
Yeah, because it contributed to a teen's death.
Well, so did the Panera Lemonades, but why is that my problem? I love all these things.
Well, you can do it.
Well, do you know what the one chip challenge is?
I do.
I don't know if they don't make them anymore.
Mm.
Will you explain what it is to the audience?
Oh, yes, I should. It is a company called, I think, like Pocky, I think it's called, PACQUI, and they made these chips that were ultra, mega, extremely, ridiculously hot. And so you'd get one, it's the one chip challenge, a little box, and it would have one kind of oversized large tortilla chip in it, and it would be like ridiculously extremely hot, so it was sort of a YouTube social media type challenge. You eat the one chip challenge, and
we still have the world's hottest chocolate.
I bet it's so gross at this point. I mean, it's like eight years old. I'm sure it's stale.
It didn't taste good to begin with.
True.
It wasn't about the flavor.
Would you do it again now that you know how it feels?
I would do
it if I had lots of milk available to wash it down.
I got tons of milk.
And I don't like milk.
And I would also do it if it was less. I wouldn't do like six squares or whatever. Yeah. I would do like one teeny tiny
square. We'll do it tomorrow. tell you guys. Don't know why, but Rabbi insisted on Whitesnake, so there you go. It's 419. Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald, great friend of the show, been the rabbi and the priest and the rabbi since the beginning, and asked for a little time today to talk about what's going on in Gaza. My goodness, I remember the day it happened, obviously, and
yes.
You were there.
Yes.
And we spoke on the phone,
yes.
And it seems like a lifetime.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to come in because I have to tell you that watching this has just been surreal. And I sit there just shaking my head. And I before I get to the bad stuff, I just want to say that, you know, you guys see me in here, and I walk around with a black velvet yarmulke on my head all the time. And I have experienced exactly zero bad experiences, personally.
Well, that's good.
Not even a single one. And not only would I say that, I would almost think, I kind of feel, I'm not sure, but I feel like people have gone out of their way to be nice to me. And I've traveled. I've been in airports. People of all types have been kind to me. And so I think that's an important thing to note. And I think that the vast majority of American people, whatever they think about all this, they're not blaming individual people living in this country for it and taking it out on them. And I think that's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
But when I watch what's happening, I feel like that I think if it wasn't Israel, if it wasn't Jewish people, I just don't think anyone would even care about this. And when I asked you originally to come on, it was because that was when President Biden was holding up a shipment of arms to Israel, which I thought had been completely resolved that it was being sent, and now I see that I just read just now, when I was in the other room, that it's not a final decision yet. But, you know, that kind of thing is just a very terrible thing to do, because I think it's telling Hamas that, you know, using innocent people as human shields works. And it actually, I think, endangers the people of Gaza, because it works to make them into human shields. You can actually twist the arm of the president of the United States of America by this strategy. And I think it also weakens our ability to get hostages back, because, you know, Hamas doesn't feel the pressure. You know, they're, Israel is being held back from defeating them. They're not getting the weapons, or I don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. So, you know, again, it's, you know, President Biden did a lot of good things for Israel. And I don't want to deny that he, you know, the day after that happened on October 7th, I think that he certainly stood strong and let the other enemies of Israel know not to use this as an opportunity to take advantage of it. But on the other hand, and also, you know, when Iran shot 300 missiles at Israel, so, you know, he was, the United States and other nations were very helpful in defending Israel. But, you know, they're talking about like not selling Israel offensive weapons. Israel doesn't have any offensive weapons. I mean, this is all defense. When somebody comes and slaughters you and you go to get the guys that slaughtered you, that's not offense.
What do you make of the young people? And I don't mean the agitators. I think we all know that there are professionals who are showing up and bringing the flags, where you even go buy a giant Palestinian flag. But what do you think of the college students who have fallen into line with this?
I'm very let down by it for a number of reasons. For one thing is, you know, when I grew up, words meant something. The word genocide had a meaning. And, you know, to see Harvard students using the word genocide, you know, the way I understood genocide is the attempt, genocide is the attempt to kill a whole people out. You know, that's the root of it, you know. And the idea of genocide that was committed against, let's say, the Jewish people by the Nazis, it was an attempt to destroy the Jewish people. Hamas openly says that their goal is genocide. But, you know, I don't think that Gazans are ethnically different than, let's say, the Arabs living in Israel. And I think if Israel wanted to kill Gazans, they could be doing a much better job of this instead of providing them places to run away and doing things that no other nation. You know, about 2 months ago, my daughter, who lives in Israel, she needed to have a procedure. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor was a Palestinian Arab, and the nurse was a Palestinian Arab. And my daughter is a nurse practitioner, so she often offers, when someone's going to have something painful, would you like me to hold your hands during the procedure? So she asked the Palestinian nurse, would you please hold my hands during the procedure? And the Palestinian nurse looked a little surprised, but did so. And so the Palestinian doctor did the procedure on my daughter while the Palestinian nurse held my daughter's hands. At the end of it, she said to my daughter, I hope nothing bad happens to you like this again, and told her where to get antibiotics. My daughter thanked the doctor and the nurse and went and got her antibiotics. That's what's going on in Israel. You know, you don't see, on the campuses in Israel, you don't see disruption. And in the streets of Israel, you don't see the Arabs protesting in the streets of Israel because they're happy. They live in a free country. They live in a country where they're allowed to be whatever religion. They're freer in Israel than they would be in most of the states that are Arab states. And none of them desire to move to under some kind of Palestinian government. They're living a life. And so it's silly to me to see. I think these people, they've been taught that this is some kind of like equivalent to South Africa and apartheid, and they're following this. They think they're doing something that's noble, but I think it's...
So you must have been somewhere between crestfallen and heartbroken when the ICC came out and said, we have warrants for the arrest of Netanyahu and the defense minister.
You know, first of all, to equate Sinwar with Netanyahu, Netanyahu is a regular... You cannot like, I mean, you know, American governments, he's a right winger in Israel, and America, many left wing American governments have not liked him, and that's fine. You know, there's politics, but Netanyahu is a regular leader of a country, and you know, I think like issuing a warrant for Netanyahu is like issuing a warrant for Roosevelt, or for Obama for that matter, and to equate the two. Like there's Sinwar and there's Netanyahu, I think is just, it's horrendous.
A couple minutes left in the segment. What would you like to say to the audience? What would you like people to know?
Well, you know, I'd like to say this. You know, it's interesting. You're talking about college students. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't call people anti-Semitic, and you've known me for years. Yeah. I'm not a wild person. guy that I'm measured. But you know, if I look at, let's say, what happened in Germany, you know, in 38, if I had a bet on who would be more likely to carry out something horrible, I would bet with these people now. With there's much more powerful and well-funded than his group was in the bars in Germany. And the quiet people don't really help. It doesn't matter how many are against it if they're quiet. And so I think our politicians, you know, I don't care who they're. Richie Torres is a progressive liberal. Elise Stefanik is a MAGA Republican. But I think, to me, this is a central thing right now of morality and what's our country going to be like? What's the future of our country look like? Are we going to bow to these to what's going on in these terrorist countries and bow to them and let them govern our foreign policy and our domestic policy? Or are we going to stand up for ourselves? So I would just like to see, you know, American people stand up to this. Let in the ballot box, whether it be calling congressmen, whatever, you know, these universities, which are, you know, it's really horrible that these Jewish students are on university campus. They paid to go, and they can't go there comfortably. They can't go, and I've seen video of them being withheld from going to class, and you know, so this has to be something which I think we need to take seriously. If we're going to continue as our civilization to take this seriously, and the people that you know, they're yelling death to America in America, and there are certain members of Congress that in their district that won't even call them out and say that's really horrible, and so we need to stand up for ourselves and make sure. I personally believe that the students that are here that are doing that and causing disruptions, if they're not, you know, citizens, should be asked to leave.
All right, thank you, Rabbi. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Always welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.